Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
At Dossett, Big Four, and Tupelo, we do things differently. We believe in honest, fair prices and treating our customers like family. Whether you're looking for a new or used GMC or Buick, we've got you covered. Come on down to Dossett Big Four, where you'll get a great deal without the hassle. That's Dossett Big Four in Tupelo.
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Carlo Barone of WCBI Sports. Now, get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Carlo Barone here with you on a Tuesday morning. Thanks for joining us at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville, or Brupolo over in Tupelo. And if you're not in one of those two places and you're not going to be there, that's not a worry for you. Just go to strangebrewcoffeehouse.com in order to be directly shipped right to you. You can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. Start your day with Strange Brew Coffeehouse. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that
beef,
it's what's for dinner. I don't know if what I'm having for dinner tonight, so maybe beef will be in on the menu.
Aren't you? I buy it from the store the same day.
Same day, and I haven't gone yet, so we'll figure that out.
Where do you go grocery shopping here?
I gotta go down to the Kroger. There's only two options.
Aldi or Kroger? Yeah.
I forgot about Aldi. Aldi is you know where I live, so like that's my oh crap. I need something grocery store. Like we don't have any butter. All right, I'll be right back, and I go to Aldi.
Okay.
Like, very rarely am I shopping
Wouldn't
at Aldi.
Wouldn't Aldi be closer to you? Well,
first off, what are we talking about here? Like, 50 yards? Like, it's not a lot of difference. But secondly, I'd just rather go to Kroger. They have just bigger selection.
Yeah, they have it a lot.
You know, so I can get fresh cut. If I want steaks cut, I can't get that at Aldi.
Yeah, no, you can't.
So, I am definitely I'm going to get my steaks cut guy. If we're going to eat steak, I'm going to be like, hey, can you cut me 4 ribeyes or whatever?
Yeah.
Always do that. If I give you any piece of advice here, never just don't buy the steaks unless they're, you know, something that's on sale or something. And like, I don't mind buying the little markdown stuff every now and then if you can find a good deal. But yeah, just most part, just go talk to the butcher and be like, hey, you cut me a ribeye.
Yeah.
They're happy to do it. So
give me a little ribeye.
No, not a little.
You like your steaks an inch thick?
If I can get them, yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's a good size.
That is a good size.
So I don't worry more about ounce. Pause.
The YouTube people got that one.
I don't ever ask for like a. There's no way to do this conversation.
Go on. I don't ever ask
for something by thickness. I always ask for it like, can I get a 16 ounce ribeye or something like that, or 14 ounce ribeye, something like that. So yeah, always go if you want a steak. Let your butcher handle it for you. That's today's piece of beef advice. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is a place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you're looking for. Everything maroon and white at College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area, Richland by Fleet Feet, Flow by the Half Shell. You can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. The Kiffin stuff is just killing me today. We were talking about the Kiffin stuff before we went on the air. We won't bring it. We're not going to talk about it in depth on this podcast. I will. I know. I am already mentally prepared that we're going to have to talk about it on Sports Talk Mississippi. And to say I'll have a smile on my face will be a small understatement. I told Carlo, man, I'm going to go buy a cigar and just sit there and chew on it. Just while Borky is ranting against everything. I can't wait. It's going to be fantastic. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com. What are you doing?
I just moved the mic.
Oh, okay. You had a mischievous look on your face.
No,
there.
I'm still laughing about what you said earlier.
About the thickness? Yeah, it is what it is. So at least it was thick with a K. I wasn't two C's.
Okay, you know, okay, so. Okay.
All right. You and I have we're getting to have that kind of relationship where like I have with my 16-year-old daughter where she doesn't want me to talk. Everything I say makes her cringe. Like,
I mean,
and she does not want to be seen with me in public. You're kind of getting there with
when
me.
When you said chat, are we cooked?
That was a bad one.
That one hurt. I was like, ooh. Ouch.
Low key, I think you're right.
Okay, stop. Just keep going, please.
You want 16 locations here to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only are they going to help you invest and manage your money, but how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now, more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers. You talk to our friends over at Priority One. They'll get you taken care of. Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Hey, I got a gift card here for Strange Brew Coffee House from one of our great listeners. It says Brian slash Carlo, but I'll just give it to you. You can have some coffee.
Thank you.
On our friend John Provenza. Thank you, John.
Thank
Always
you, John.
Appreciate you. All right. A little later in the show, Coach Brian O'Connor is going to join us, and we'll talk to him about a number of topics, one of which we're going to dive into here. Also, we're going to do a little football today. Josh Pate, friend of the program, been on with us a couple of times, was handing out coaching grades, and I was kind of surprised at his grade for Jeff Lebby. And then I was really surprised at some of the comments he made afterwards. That's a little later. Here's what I wanted to talk about. So this time of year, you know, RPI is kind of the end-all be-all of everything. You know, everybody's looking at it. You're watching it daily. You're trying to figure out how much you can jump up and so on and so forth. Mississippi State currently 12th in the RPI. They dropped three spots as a result of all of the action from this past weekend.
Three spots with that loss is not that bad, though.
It's not that bad. I mean, when you lose to the number three team,
yeah,
it's not going to be that bad.
That's not bad.
Their predicted RPI remains that they're going to sweep Texas A&M. I doubt that, but that's what Warren Nolan wants to say. You know, so be it. He did predict State losing the series last weekend. He said State would lose two out of three. We'll see if his analytics hold up here. For me, though, State could be in a much better position RPI-wise if they had scheduled a little differently. So I wouldn't look. So State's currently 12th in the RPI. They have 24 of their 38 wins are quad three, quad four. Not that that's, you know, a ridiculous number. Most teams, you know, especially when you're a power team, you're going to play a lot of those teams in the non-conference, right? The only team that has more games than them that from a quad three, quad four perspective is USC. USC has played 30. Well, they've played a total of 14 plus 19. It's 33 quad three, quad four games. So 33 of USC's 53 games, you know, 60% of their schedule. Now, some of that is their conference. You know, some of the Big Ten teams.
The bottom of the Big Ten.
The actual Big Ten teams. Like, not the West Coast ones. The actual teams in the Big Ten. Those aren't great baseball programs.
No.
But they also have three quad three, quad four losses. Mississippi State has none, which is a big shining spot on their resume. Almost everybody has one. If you look at the teams ranked 12 through 1 or 1 through 12, only Auburn is undefeated quad three, quad four, along with Mississippi State. But it got me to thinking, like, State played three series in the non-conference to start the season. Hofstra's RPI is 157. Delaware's is 244. Lipscomb's is 200. If State had just bumped this up a little bit, and I think for weekend series, and I asked O'Connor about this, and he makes a really good point. You'll hear that interview in just a minute. In fact, you know what? Let's just go ahead and play it now so we can dive into this discussion after. So earlier today, I talked with Coach Brian O'Connor, Mississippi State Baseball. All interviews on the show, as you know, brought to you by your friends over at Allura Modern Wellness. The summer is here. You know, working out in the summer, going for a run, takes a lot out of you. That's when you want to talk about recovery. That's when you want to talk to our friends at Allura Modern Wellness. It's more than just recovery over there. It's relaxation. It's stress relief, heat, cold, stretch, whatever makes you feel better. Allura Modern Wellness has a service they can put in place for you. Check out their website, AlluraModernWellness.com. You can book everything right there on the website, or you can call them today at 662-268-9255. Get yourself in recovery. Get yourself feeling better at Allura Modern Wellness. They go now to our interview, Coach Brian O'Connor. Let's go back to the Farm Bureau guest line. Check out favorites.com and go with the home team. Coach Brian O'Connor joins us after his team's series loss to the Auburn Tigers this weekend. And Coach, we'll just start here. When you have a frustrating weekend like that, you know, you get the win on Thursday and you feel like you've managed your pitching staff to the point where you put yourself in a good position and it just doesn't go your way. As a coach, when you go into that locker room, what's the first thing you feel like you need to do?
First thing I need to do with the players.
Yeah.
you know, I just talked to them about, you know, where we can be better. It's, you know, obviously the game is over and you can't do anything about that, but you know, where can we be better and where was the opportunities, the missed opportunities for us to be successful? And then also talk about charting our path forward. So, you know, we all know how every coach in this league talks about how challenging this league is, right? And that you face that every weekend. And so, you know, what you want your team to do is learn from the opportunities that they have had and then be ready and be more prepared to be successful the next opportunity out there.
When you look at the game three, the past two weekends, you've been able to, you know, Texas game, you get the grand slam, you're up 5-0, but you're unable to chase their starter and he's able to settle in. This past Saturday, kind of a similar thing. You didn't get any runs, but you had, you know, you stranded five runners in the first inning, and their starter who threw 50 pitches in his first two innings is able to settle in. He's still in there in the sixth. What does this team need to do to be able to capitalize on some early chances? Do you feel like they're just not aggressive enough at some times, or is it something else that they're just not getting these starting pitchers out when they've got them on the ropes a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's times where we have, certainly on Thursday night, you know, we got their starter out in a couple of innings. So there's been opportunities that we have done that. And, you know, but that obviously speaks to the quality of pitching that you play. But it comes down to, you know, when you do have opportunities, being more opportunistic. You know, I think in the second inning of that game, we're down 2-0. And, you know, we had bases loaded and, you know, had the right guy up, an Ace Reese, and he's come through many times and he just didn't come through that time. So it's a matter of when we have those opportunities early in the game, understanding like what first puts us in a position to be successful, right? What are they going to do to us? And then going up there and doing the job, right? You know, that's what it comes down to. And, you know, it's not for a lack of want to. It's, you know, sometimes candidly, it depends. Sometimes it can be too aggressive, right? You know, so there's times where it's like, okay, we got to hunt some pitches and we got to know what we're going to get and we got to go get it. And then sometimes it's, you know, a couple opportunities that Jacob Parker had in game two and game three. It's actually sometimes not swinging at strikes. You know, it's over aggressive. It's trying to do too much. And so I would rather err on the side of going for it and being over aggressive than not aggressive enough.
You mentioned Parker there, and, you know, this time of year with a player who's a freshman, people like me, we're going to talk about a freshman wall or something like that. This is the latest he's ever played, most games he's ever played. How do you feel about Jacob Parker right now? Do you feel like he's still where you want him to be, or is a freshman wall a real thing that you would be concerned about?
I mean, I think it's easy for people to point to that with a freshman. You know, I think I think Ryder Woodson has went through a little bit of that, you know, over the last 4 or 5 weeks. You know, here he was playing shortstop every day. Really, it's kind of like his freshman year because he hardly played it at NC State last year. And I felt like he's went through that a little bit for sure. And then, you know, I don't think, you know, Jacob Parker's last at bat down a run on Friday night. I mean, he squared that ball up and hit it good. So I'm not concerned about that with Jacob at all. Again, I think some of it comes back to the quality of pitching you're facing and coming through when you have big opportunities. And every time I've seen Jacob Parker maybe scuffle a little bit this year, he's always got right back in there and really delivered for this team. And the kids, you know, as a freshman, he's having a remarkable year that very few freshmen have out there. So my confidence in him, his belief in himself has not wavered at all.
So regardless of what happens this weekend at Texas A&M, your team's going to finish with more road wins than home wins in SEC play. That's a weird statistic. Is it just an outlier, or is there something about playing at home that your team has struggled with?
I don't think it's anything playing at home that we've struggled with. I mean, you could look at that in our record against SEC opponents, but obviously outside of the SEC, we have, you know, we've won them all. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's easy to look at that and say, okay, you're 7-8 in the 15 home games or whatever we are in SEC play. I don't think that there's anything to the fact that you're playing at home. I think this game of in this league has a lot to do with momentum. And, you know, when you don't play a good game or don't play two in a row, that you adjust and you get right back out there and play good baseball. So I think it's just happens to be circumstance rather than anything to do with us playing at home or playing on the road. Fortunately, we have played very well on the road, and that's not an easy thing to do. But that shows, I think, the competitive spirit of this team and that they're not going to back down no matter what the situation is.
So if I did if I looked at my stats right, Coach, I try to do my homework when I ask these kind of questions, but I found four appearances for Ben Davis where he gave you two clean innings of relief, but in that third inning, he ran into trouble. And it happened again, obviously, on Friday night. Now, after he gave up the home run, he shut him down, you know, three quick outs. Mm-hmm. Why do you think this issue exists for Davis where he's so good for two innings, but something happens to him in that third inning of relief where he just sometimes makes a mistake?
Yeah, I don't think that there's anything that you can point to because of, you know, of that there's going on and, you know, that it leads to that at all. You know, I mean, you look at the end of his second inning, and when we're evaluating pitchers, we're looking at, you know, what is their velocity? What is their execution on the pitches? And do they have enough in the tank to go back out there? Right. And so Coach Parker and I are talking about those things all the time after each inning, during an inning. And you look at what he did in the eighth inning, you know, the stuff was really, really good. And the young man, you know, made one pitch to a really good hitter and the guy put a great swing on it. And so, and it's easy to say that maybe you should go with somebody else, but who's to say that next guy is going to be a better option, right? So we've got a lot of belief in Ben Davis and still have belief in Ben Davis. And so, you know, sure, there's times in that third inning he gives up runs, and we know that, we're aware of that, but our eyes make the decision based on what the stuff looks like if somebody goes out there and continues on.
If we wanted to find a positive from this weekend, I thought Ace Reese had a really good weekend. He had, I think, eight hits in mm-hmm. three games, had back-to-back three-plus hit games Friday, Saturday. That's a guy you need to have him if you want to make that deep run in the postseason. Do you feel like he's starting to pick it up a little bit?
You know, I think he had a great weekend. I thought he had a really good weekend against LSU, too. And so, you know, I think Ace Reese is doing some really great things. And obviously, to be successful, your marquee players need to produce. And they're not going to come through all the time. But I love where he's at. I think he's playing, you know, very good defense. He's making some nice plays, especially to his glove side. And certainly swung the bat very, very well for this weekend. So that's exciting that, you know, obviously if you're going to be successful down the stretch run, a guy like Ace Reese needs to deliver for this team.
So, you know, this time of year, the three most important letters are RPI. That's all we really mm-hmm. talk about. So I had a scheduling question for you. Your team has 24 wins that are quad three, quad four. Only USC has more of the teams that are ranked ahead of you currently in the RPI. So I don't know how much of the schedule you did versus how much was already done when you were hired, but looking ahead to next year, you had three weekend series this year with a sub-150 RPIs in the non-conference. You played three midweek games against teams that are sub-270. Do you think that that's something that you might want to change next year? Is that something where you look at RPI and you think, we can find some 100 to 125, some 75 to 100 teams to come to Duty Noble Field and play baseball against us? Is that something you consider for the future?
Oh, absolutely. You're always considering those scheduling things. And you know, college baseball schedules, Brian, are typically done 2 and 3 years out, especially the weekends prior to non-conference or prior to conference. So, you know, when I got here, I got the schedule and the commitments of, you know, this year's schedule was already done. You know, the non-conference schedule, non-midweeks, was done. A lot of times these are done 3 and 4 years ahead of time in order to secure a team. So there's, you know, a lot of times there's not flexibility with it until years down the road. But you know, and in the midweek, you're limited to, you know, who's within driving distance, right? Nobody's going to fly here for one midweek game. So you know, and listen, to have the whatever our RPI is right now, probably in the low teens, to it, to have that kind of RPI is really good. Had we taken care of a couple of more conference games, you know, our RPI would be inside 8, you know. So we're always looking at scheduling and trying to, you know, put yourself in the best position to drive RPI. That's why we play Southern Miss on the road, you know, every year. And that's something that I will continue because, you know, playing when you can, playing midweek games on the road helps your RPI, right? And so, really, all that you have control over because of distance, a lot of times, is what are you doing in the weeks prior to conference play?
We'll wrap it up, Coach. I thought that we were going to be done with Ryan McPherson updates. When he got the start on Saturday, I was like, don't have to ask about Ryan McPherson anymore, other than, you know, what's the, I guess, the schedule for him. But I guess not. So what's the status on Ryan McPherson after his looked like an ankle injury out there on Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, I talked with him yesterday, and he was a little bit sore, but you know, we're having practice today, so we'll see as the day goes on. I think that he'll be fine and ready to go this weekend, but we'll obviously talk to him today and find out where he's at and get an update when we get out there for practice.
If he is good to go on Saturday or whenever you want to start him, you know, is that pitch count still in effect? Does it go up a little bit this week, hopefully?
Yeah, the plan is, you know, that you know, when you start somebody like this and bring him back from an extended rehab, that you hope that you can continue to stack on pitches and stack on innings. And you know, you can't take a guy from 35 pitches and immediately jump him to 70 pitches. And so it's a process that you need to build on. And so we'll listen to, you know, how he feels, and obviously do the best thing for the young man and also the best thing for our team.
Mississippi State traveling to Texas A&M to wrap up the regular season. Thursday, Friday, Saturday series for Coach O'Connor's Diamond Dogs. Coach, always appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Brian.
Back in just a minute here on Sports Talk Mississippi. So you heard me describe it there to O'Connor. So State plays, let me pull the RPI back up. 157, 244, 200 are your weekend series before the start of conference play. Obviously, the trip to Arlington was a really good one for State. 40, those RPIs are 48, 39, and 1. Those are two quad one wins in there, beating Arizona State and Virginia Tech. Your midweek games, Troy's a good one. 54, that's fine. Austin Peay, last year Austin Peay was a better team. So, you know, I don't have a problem scheduling them. They're 176 this year, but last year they were a 40 win team. They were in the NCAA tournament. Southern Miss, as Coach O'Connor alluded to, that's a series he will continue. He says it makes a lot of sense to play that game.
For
I agree.
both home and away, still.
And I agree with that.
Respect.
Tulane in a neutral site, that ends up being a quad three game for Mississippi State, but Tulane year in, year out is not a terrible program. I don't have a huge issue with that. Here's where State messes up. You gotta drop these SWAC teams, or at least only play one of them. State played Alcorn, Jackson State, and Grambling. Grambling has the highest RPI of any of those teams, and it's 272.
Jeez.
So those are games that cost you RPI points. Even when, you know, look at the final scores of these games: 19-0, 17-1, and 12-0. You gave up one run. You scored 12 runs or more in every game. You lost RPI points for all of those.
Honestly, it's kind of a waste of time too. I mean,
yeah, it really, you get nothing out of these games.
Nobody's at the ballpark.
Right.
By the fifth inning, you're playing guys that don't play.
Now, State playing at Samford. Samford's a 96 RPI. That's a quad two win. That's a good win. Playing Memphis. Memphis has gotten up to 106. So that's an acceptable range, in my opinion. And O'Connor mentions it there, that you got to play teams that can bus here for your midweek games, right? Nobody's flying in for a midweek game. But there's just enough teams out there that you could have boosted your RPI. You could be in the top 10 or maybe higher if instead of having 15 quad four wins and five quad two wins, you had 11 quad four wins and nine quad two wins, which that's the other side of this coin. You kind of mentioned it. You got to win the games, right? See, you're not going out and trying to schedule, you know, hey, what's our non-conference this year? Oh, we got three with UCLA, three with Georgia Tech, and three with North Carolina. You're not doing that.
It'd be great for your RPI if you won the game.
Yeah, but you know, if you win the games. But for a weekend series, you can't get Liberty to come in. They're 35th in the RPI. Now, maybe you drop a game there, but it's not a killer. It's not a killer. Mercer is 38th in the RPI. They would absolutely come to Starkville for a weekend. Louisiana, before anybody laughs, just calm down. They're 49th in the RPI. They would come in for a weekend, and that might be a team that would come in for a weekday. I don't know. Troy would certainly do a weekend with you. You've played them in the midweek. They're 54th in the RPI. South Alabama is a team Mississippi State has played a number of times through the years. They're 58th in the RPI. Arkansas State is 60th. They're having a good season. That would be one that you could get.
They've been coming to Ole Miss for midweeks, too.
For years. They would absolutely come to Starkville, yeah. I think. A team who you could bring in for the weekend, Rice, this year. They're 68th. Campbell is 69th. That would be a nice pickup for Mississippi State if they could get that on the weekend. Or I don't think you could do a midweek game with them. I see what you're doing over there. What I'm getting at, Southeast Louisiana, who has been predicted to be in the Starkville Regional, they're 71st. You could easily get them up to Starkville for a weekend. They've got to schedule a little differently. Lamonas was, especially after 22-23, when the team was bad, tried to make a point of, I'm going to schedule as many easy games as I can. Just pile up the wins. And then I'll do whatever I get in the conference. If I can get to 12, 13 conference wins, I'll probably be okay. The problem was in 24, he lost six of those games to bad teams, and that's why they didn't host. Last year, he won all of those games, but then they were terrible in conference. So they just have to find a little bit better balance on the schedule, don't you think?
Yeah, I agree. I think replacing some of those SWAC teams would definitely help. And like you said, there's plenty of guys that would or teams that would drive here and do it. So, you know, you talked about with O'Connor where a lot of that was already set in stone when mm-hmm. he got the job. Mm-hmm. So I would expect there probably is going to be a pretty big change in their non-conference plan going into next season. But, yeah, for RPI purposes, this is the time of the year where they get burned for playing those teams when, you know, like you said, the three SWAC teams, one run through three games, and three of them are...
And you lose RPI points.
Yeah, and all of them are run rules. Nobody's in the stands. It's like, you could just... That's a... The week or the midweek matchups are so valuable in times like right now.
Yeah.
When you're on the bubble between hosting and not, and then you have three teams, 270 and under, versus you could... If you just went a little bit better, closer to maybe 200, 150...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's not.
If State is
asking a lot.
If instead of those three games, instead of playing Grambling, Alcorn, and Jackson State, State had played a midweek game with, let's just say, Mercer. That's a drivable game. All right, where exactly is Mercer? Is it in Atlanta or is it just outside? It's in Macon. Macon to Starkville is what, like 5 hours? Not making Mississippi. It's about 5.5. That's pushing it, but I think you can make it worth their while, right? You could like, hey, we'll give you $250,000 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They'll show up for that, right?
South Alabama,
Louisiana. You know, you played at Samford. Give them do a home and home with them. Play, hey, you'll come to Starkville. We'll come to your place. UAB, you played them already. Maybe do a game there. I think State, if State could drop those three anchors off of their RPI and bump up the schedule. And just in those three games, instead of 12th right now, they're probably 10th. They might even be
huge.
It'd be huge right now. That's the difference between hosting and not hosting at this point. State's non-conference strength of schedule is 144. Now, there's a couple of things in here where, like, there's some outliers. Like, Florida plays Miami, plays Florida State three times. That's going to bump their non-conference strength of schedule is 22.
Yeah.
It's going to be that because they play the teams in their state. Same with Auburn. Auburn played two games with Georgia Tech. Like, that's going to bump up their non-conference RPI. But then again, you have Georgia Tech. Their non-conference RPI is 176. Texas A&M's is 212. Georgia's is 238. Georgia played 12 plus 20 is 32 games that are quad three, quad four. The reason Georgia is in such a good spot is pretty simple. They're 21-6 in the conference.
Yeah, I mean, killing it.
If Georgia, I'll be honest with you, if Georgia and had State's conference record, if they were 15-12, they would be on the road for sure in regional play.
Yeah.
100%. And they would probably be looking at this last week and saying we might need to sweep or we can't get swept against Auburn. So just a few little things here and there. I didn't want to talk too much about games because I think we've hashed through all that. And the bottom line with State is this: if they win a game this weekend, there's going to be a Starkville region. They win two games this weekend, there will likely be a Starkville Super Regional. They win all three games somehow, they would definitely be a Starkville Super Regional. They'd be one of the top eight seeds. And for whatever reason, this team has been better on the road. So maybe if you get a regional and there's no other SEC teams in it, you probably have a good chance to advance. State has struggled against the good SEC teams, not against basically anybody else. Maybe going on the road might be better for them, especially if you're – you know, I don't know what the regionals might be. If you're at,
I mean, their road record too.
Yeah, you just don't want to go to North Carolina or Georgia Tech.
No,
can you? And you'd like to avoid Athens, Auburn,
definitely
Austin.
Yeah, you'd like to not be paired up with a good SEC team,
right? So I'm interested to see what the brackets look like. But can you avoid? Can you? I'm trying to see where they could send State. Like,
where's Texas in all this now? After dropping
is
Tennessee.
Kansas is still going to be the big. They're still a game ahead in the Big 12.
I saw a projection today, the Starkville Regional at like 13 or 14, and Kansas is the 2 seed in their regional.
That would not be what you want.
No.
You don't want that.
No.
I just, you know, is Coastal still going to host? If so, where are they?
Aren't they RPI like 24?
They're down to 25.
No, they're not going to host.
The Sun Belt champion, though. You know what's funny is there's a very good chance they're not the Sun Belt champion, though. They played Louisiana this week. And Southern Miss has Georgia Southern. So Southern sweeps, and Coastal takes two out of three. They're tied. Louisiana could easily win that series. I don't know how they're going to pair State up. Right now, it feels like State's going to get paired with one of the big SEC teams, Texas, Georgia, or Auburn. And they'll have to go on the road there. So we'll have to wait and see. But just something I wanted to talk about today. I thought that scheduling was an issue for State. And we'll see how they fix it going into next year. I wonder if they haven't announced yet. I need to go back and see when they announced the Arlington thing last year. But right now, I don't know that State is in one of those showcase events.
I'm sure he'll find a way to get
it. And somebody will want State too. They're an attract. The thing about those events is that when you bring in Mississippi State, you know you're going to sell some tickets.
Yes.
You're going to get some fans there.
Absolutely.
All right. We're going to move to football now. Let's move into that. That's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoke Meats in the heart of the Cotton District, the place to find smoked Southern soul food. And the older brother, the home of the fancy sandwich, but also home of a kind of an under-the-radar dinner place here in town as well. If you haven't gone to the older brother yet for dinner, it's got one of my highest recommendations. They got steak, pork chops, pasta. It's delicious, and it's really, really good. And I went there for a few weeks back, and I had not tried it yet, and I walked away really, really impressed with that. So if you want to keep it casual, Two Brothers, the older brother for lunch. But if you want to spin it up a little bit, check out the older brother for dinner there in the Cotton District. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it for over 50 years. If you need technology for your business, give Advantage Business Systems a call. You need a new copier, new printer, new laptops or computers, they've got you taken care of. And they've got you taken care of beyond the sale. That's the difference. That's where they come through. Anybody can sell it to you. Who's there for you when you call them afterwards? You don't want to be on a 1-800 number. If You don't want to be on hold for 45 minutes. You don't have to wait on a technician to make an appointment with. He'll show up a week later. Don't want to deal with any of that? Call Advantage Business Systems today. 601-362-9192 or visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Maroon & Co., it's the place to go. This, if you're coming to Starkville anytime soon, you're looking for Mississippi State gear, nobody in the Golden Triangle with a bigger or better selection, a more unique selection, things you cannot find anywhere else. They've only got them at Maroon & Co. The list of Maroon & Co. exclusives is a long one, especially the LA7 gear that everybody is so hyped up about from Luke Alexander, the former Diamond Dog, the short-sleeve pullovers that he's put out now. They are flying off the shelf at Maroon & Co. Go get yours today, and use our promo code, UNDER15, to save 15% off regular price. Some exclusions do apply. Before you go to your next game in Starkville, make sure you're going to Maroon & Co. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo is the place to get some summer savings right this second. If you are looking for John Deere green, and I know that you are, right? This is going to be a weekend where I think getting out and mowing the grass is probably a thing you want to do. Well, Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden, they can certainly make that happen for you with not only a great deal, but a great financing available as well. So, if you are looking for a John Deere mower, a John Deere tractor, a John Deere Gator, whatever it is, professional grade, or you're just, you know, you got a small house, small yard, you just want to get one of those zero-turn mowers, is something happening?
Yeah. Just keep going. Keep going. I'll text you.
Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo, great deals available. These are all going to be running through August 4th. We're talking 0% financing on some of these deals for like the 5 Series tractors for 84 months. That's a great deal. Check it out. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo. They have what you want for less. It's something we can't talk about. You have to text me.
No. No, we can talk about it. But...
Oh. Did you not bring a plug?
No, I forgot it.
That's ladies and gentlemen.
But it should be fine. It should be fine.
He texted me, my computer is at 10%, is what he's saying. So
I just got the notification that says it's going to go to sleep soon. But we have the football segment, and then we're
done. Yeah. So let me get back to work here.
Okay.
Good Hope Land and Timber. If you're a landowner in the state of Mississippi, you need to know the name Good Hope Land and Timber. Whether you're trying to buy or sell land, they can make that purchase happen for you. But if you're already a landowner and you're trying to manage your timber, trying to manage your resources, do everything sustainably but make the most money on it, Good Hope Land and Timber can certainly help you with that. Experts in their field, make them experts in your field with a quick phone call to 601-442-9888 or visit them online at g-hope.com. Good Hope Land and Timber, locally trusted, landowner approved. All right, Josh Pate, friend of the show. The Josh Pate College Football Show is something I assume a lot of you guys listen to. Was giving out coaching grades this past weekend. And got to Jeff Lebby. And, you know, I'm interested to hear the thought process. He said he had him somewhere between B and C plus. Talked about how they went from 2 wins to 5 wins, which I've talked about before, Carlo. Like from 1,000 foot up, and you see a team go from 2 to 5, you're like, okay, they improved. But he mentions the close losses. Something he said that doesn't sit quite right with me was he says, hey, at Mississippi State, those close losses, he kind of says like,
yeah,
at Georgia, I would be like, no, you lost. But at Mississippi State, I don't look at it the same way. I don't like that.
I don't agree either.
Losses are losses.
Losses are losses. You don't feel good about them.
No.
Especially, I mean, you got to think about the context of those losses too.
Right.
Texas, they blew a 17-point lead in 9 minutes.
Right.
Florida, they quite literally threw the game away.
Right.
And what was the third one he said?
Tennessee.
I mean, you lose in overtime in a game that you have control of. In the second half, you come back, and then you lose in overtime. I mean,
well, that's the other side.
You don't feel good about any of those.
I pin those losses on Lebby.
100%.
Lebby makes the play call to give Shapen an opportunity. Just run the ball.
Texas was 1,000% on him, too.
Just slow down. You're snapping the ball with 25 seconds left, up 17 in the fourth quarter. Let's milk the clock a little bit.
Yeah.
I thought in Tennessee, you've been running the football on them all day. You run the fake punt, and I get it. You're trying to go for the kill shot there. I don't mind that as much, but you know your offensive line is not good, and you just let the guy through. You set yourself up where that guy was going to have a chance to go 1-on-1 with your left tackle and beat him, and they did it. So to see, you know, C-plus is like the most generous.
Yeah.
To get up to B was really surprising. The other side of that was he said, now there's going to be some Mississippi State fans that will push back against that. And my first thought was, you're damn right. There are going to be a lot. But he went the other way. He said, there are some that want to give him an A-. And I'm just like, who are these people?
I would love to know who.
I want to know who that person is. Well, I know where they post, what message board they post on. It's ridiculous. I would say that the average Mississippi State fan would go the other way and be like, no, no.
Yeah.
This guy's 7-18.
I don't like where he said, you know, the close losses are basically
like a positive
win at Mississippi. No, it's not.
It's not.
You lose.
Again, if they had been like in the game and you know, like they were put together a great comeback and they just came up a little short, that's one thing.
Against like
you had 14-point lead on Tennessee. You had a 17-point lead.
17-point fourth quarter lead.
Fourth quarter lead on Texas. You had the ball in field goal range.
With a great kicker.
With a great kicker, down one. Head coaching is what lost those games. There are more State fans that would give Lebby an F than an A-. I found that just surprising.
Just weird.
That, you know, I just said, Josh said he reached out to some people close to the program to get the temperature. He didn't call me because I would have been like, buddy, D is being real generous.
Yeah.
You know, and another thing, like, the loss, some of the losses they had last year because they were so bad defensively. Well, it was Lebby's choice to bring back Coleman Hutzler for another season.
That really surprised me.
You could have cut bait right there. Nobody would have said anything. They've been like, look, that defense was historically bad. He gave somebody an opportunity. They didn't take advantage of it. You got to get somebody in there with some experience. You got to get a veteran in there. And do I think State would have won 6, 7, maybe even 8 games last year with Zach Arnett as its defensive coordinator? I do. I do think that. Because I don't believe the talent was bad in 2024 to go 2-10. That's where my brain one was 2-10. It was bad, but it wasn't lose to Toledo by 24 bad. It just wasn't.
No.
So I don't know. I was just really surprised at that rate. Because if he's a B, I mean, how high can we go here? Like, what's Heupel? Heupel's probably a B, right?
Taking his team to a playoff.
He's taking his team to a playoff. He's had a winning season every year.
Yeah.
Like what?
Lebby's, 1-15 against the SEC right now?
Yeah.
Two power wins.
Yeah. At Arizona, he beat Arizona State here.
I can't believe
and then
that.
It's a shocking, it may be the right word.
What would you give him so far?
A D.
I'd give C-.
I mean, we're in that range. Like, he's 7-18.
This is a huge year.
This is the other thing he said, that he's like, you know, considering where that program was. When Jeff Lebby took over, this program was 1 year removed from a 9-win season. Right? They won 9 games in 2022. And yes, they had a traumatic incident, and they had to replace a coach who did things differently than literally every other coach in the country. There was always going to be a problem when you had to transition from Leach. But some of the decisions Lebby made, not bringing in a veteran defensive coordinator, deciding to go with Blake Shapen. I mean, Brendan Sorsby was a guy that, you know, was on the market at that time. You could have found a way to get him here. Now, would I have bet on that? No. See what I did?
Not really.
But regardless, like, I just don't see how you look at a coach that's 7-18 that was completely uncompetitive his first year. And then his second year, I can pin 3 losses on him, the head coach. A number of personnel decisions. Like, I don't think they would have beaten Missouri, but if you just let Kamario Taylor have that game, it's a lot more competitive.
I mean, that game was over before it started.
Right. Same with, Texas A&M. You're down 17 points in the fourth quarter, and Fluff Bothwell still getting carries. Like, that injury, I can pin on Lebby. Giving Lebby a B, like, is incredible. Incredible. Because you're thinking, what you're telling me is if he had won one more game, he'd have an A?
No.
He'd be up there with, like, Elko and Sarkisian. Like, Sarkisian gets a B. Like, he hasn't won a national title with all the talent they have. They didn't even make the playoff last year. How can he, if he's a B and Lebby's a B, we got a weird grading system. We're grading on the idea that Mississippi State should be down, is how I'm looking at that. I don't agree with that.
I don't think any program agrees with that.
Well, I think that's how Josh is looking. He's like, look, they're doing the best they can. They're not. We're not. Mississippi State is not doing the best it can right now.
No, I agree.
It's bothersome. So what you would say C minus?
Yeah.
You're being generous, I think.
In reality, they probably should have won 7 or 8 games last year, but they were just so close and didn't happen.
It's one of those things, again, where like the people like you and I who cover the program, we see everything and we see every down of every game. We're going to look at it differently than a guy who just like watches the highlights
box score and
sort of sees, you know, again, from 2 wins to 5 wins, that is noticeable, tangible improvement. Then you add in, yeah, and they had a really good chance to win these 3 games. Wow. They were a lot better last year from the year before. They were. The reason they weren't was things that Lebby did. And that has to count against the grade.
100%.
That's just me. That's just my opinion. All right. I don't think we can do the rumblings tomorrow. I got too much going on in the morning. For us, I don't even know that we're going to have a podcast tomorrow. We'll have to wait and see. But if we don't, so be it. And if we do, we'll be back. We'll be back tomorrow. If not, we'll be back Thursday, and we'll figure it out. So until then, for Carla Brown, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.